Today on Thriller Podcast, we are talking a hacker who makes off with $400,000 of stellar lumens. What the fuck? And then in our main topic, we're discussing Tron, Justin Sun. Is this guy a boy genius, or is he just a pumper and a dumper? That's kind of gross. Thriller Podcast starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Carl Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you. It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Carl Gonzalez.
So we have a lot of good news today. We're dealing with Thriller Podcast, of course. Crypto world, not so much. But okay, so if you guys might have noticed in your feed today, you probably saw Thriller Coin Talk. So don't worry, we're not forking this show and splitting off into two different shows. What we're doing is was talking with my patrons, and we all decided that we are going to go ahead and record Thriller Podcast the way it is now, three times a week, like it's been going. But on Thursdays and Fridays, we're going to do a Thriller Coin Talk show. Usually Thursdays and Fridays aren't our busiest days, I guess, for listenership. But a lot of people are still wanting the daily Coin Talk recap and I guess my opinion. So thank you for that. But you will see those show up here in the feed on Thursday. And then on Friday, if you guys want to get them right when they come out, I would suggest joining the Patreon at Thriller Podcast. So that way you can get access to them the moment they come out. But with that, so let's go ahead and jump into the news. So right off the bat, guys, this kind of scared me because $400,000 of Stellar Lumens was reported stolen. This was all from hacking the digital wallet provider Black Wallet. So according to cybersecurity researcher Kevin Beaumont, the attacker hijacked Black Wallet's domain name system DNS server over the weekend, adding a piece of code which transferred any deposits of 20 or more lumens into another wallet. Bleeping Computer reported the attacker nearly secured 670,000 lumens, worth about 444,000 at press time. Shortly after stealing the lumens, the hackers began moving the funds out of the wallet they were being stored in. A Reddit user claiming to be Black Wallet's creator said in a statement that his hosting provider account had been compromised, which led to the hack. He went on to say he had contacted his provider and asked for the site to be taken down. As of press time, Black Wallet was inaccessible. The site's creator said a large amount of stolen funds were sent to an account at the cryptocurrency exchange Bittrex, while he tried to contact the exchange to clear whether Bittrex has frozen the stolen funds. In the statement, the creator said, "I'm sincerely sorry about this and hope that we get these funds back. I'm in talks with my hosting provider to get as much information about the hacker and we'll see what can be done." Yeah, that's terrible, man. Like, this is why I always say, guys, just be careful with crypto. It's going to happen eventually. You know, I hate to say it and I don't want to scare you guys because I have a lot of funds on there too. But like Bittrex and Binance and Kraken and Coinbase and all those places, eventually, you know, one by one, they're going to get hacked. That's why if you guys, you know, invest in some, you know, hardware wallets, and at the very least spread those coins around, like try to spread them out across different exchanges. That way, if one gets hacked and you happen to lose some coins, you at least have some other coins on a different exchange. That's my best advice. Unfortunately, that's all we have right now in crypto that we can do. So that's that news. That was kind of scary. I guess it's good for the coin, honestly, just because it shows the value of Stellar and where everybody thinks it's going. But it kind of sucks for all those people that lost the money. So this is an interesting story. Penske actually is getting involved and they joined a blockchain group. So if you guys know who that is, here in the States, we have this global transport company called Penske Logistics, and they've actually become the latest company to join the blockchain in Transport Alliance, BITA. So the organization aims to spur blockchain development in the transport industry by creating applications for supply chain and logistics processes, asset tracking, and transaction ledgers, according to a press release. Penske became a corporate member of the alliance on January 15th. So the company specifically may work on creating applications for its food and beverage transports, as well as its manufacturing division. And the senior vice president of global products, Andy Moses, said, "We've joined BITA to take part in better understanding the benefits of blockchain for our customers and to be a part of crafting the standard framework in the development and implementation of blockchain technology. Penske joins companies such as United Parcel Service in the consortium. Last year, UPS announced it was joining to help develop standards for blockchain platforms, including on how to use a tech to facilitate payments. So everybody's getting on there, and it's pretty awesome to see a company like Penske, and it's such an older company. And it's actually, I've used Penske to move, you know, move houses and stuff like that, or move furniture, and they've always been good. And what's interesting is I've heard a story where the guy from Snapchat, Evan Spiegel, he actually wanted to figure out how to do customer service for Snapchat once they started rolling out, like, you know, support tickets and stuff like that on their platform. He said out of all places that he went to, he actually went to Penske. And believe it or not, the story goes to where he goes to Penske and he talks to the, I guess, the CEO. And he asks if him and his team can spend the day learning how they manage all these moving trucks and all these, you know, contracts and everything and their customers and all the financials and stuff like that. And he said the Penske CEO just let him have free reign and, you know, and learn from him. So Penske is definitely a forward thinking company, especially if it's getting involved in blockchain this early. And that's pretty cool. The first step they're doing is joining an alliance, so that way they can kind of create this barrier of entry for any of these other ICOs that are coming out there trying to disrupt their industry. Self-preservation at its best right there. And then finally, this was interesting. So housing or .com, which bubble does cryptocurrency mania resemble? So Mark Hoshton, he writes for CoinDesk, and he's actually a pretty good writer. I've been reading some of his stuff here. He's the editor-in-chief of American Banker. So he says, it seems like the .com bubble all over again, or the housing bubble all over again. That's Robert Shiller, the Nobel Prize winner, Yale economist, quoted in Fortune magazine's cover story on Bitcoin. So .com or housing? Pick one, professor, because there's a meaningful difference. Debt bubbles, like the one that overheated the U.S. housing market in the 2000s and ultimately sparked a global financial crisis, leave behind encumbrances. Tech bubbles like the 1990s internet mania leave behind infrastructure. The last great debt bubble gave us $700 billion of bailouts and more than 2,000 pages of legislation, not counting the realms of regulations putting the Dodd-Frank Act into practice in the U.S. alone. Rather than ending too big to fail, we ended up with the biggest TBTF institutions ever, zombie foreclosures that sat vacant for years, blah, 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 blah. He just goes on. What I'm trying to understand about all this is, I don't think they're understanding. Well, I'm not talking about the writer, Mark Hoshkin. He gets it right. He understands where it's going. But I think the people like at Forbes and other places, they think they're trying to equate this to those bubbles, and you can't. It's kind of a crypto. Crypto is its own bubble right now. Another thing they're trying to relate it to is just American soil. People don't realize that, you know, cryptocurrency is a worldwide phenomenon. It's not just the United States. And I live in Austin, Texas, and even I'm aware of that. And, you know, you have these guys with Forbes and these big institutions here in America, and they just can't get their head out of their asshole, you know. It's just, they just are all about themselves. It's kind of sad. Yeah, just because it makes the rest of Americans look bad. You know, we're not all like that. We understand that there's actually the entire world involved in crypto, not just us. Good eye on Mark Hoshkinson for pointing that out. He also says towards the end, he says on a final note, one good thing did arguably come from the last debt bubble, albeit indirectly. If the crisis hadn't shaken the world's faith in centralized institutions and financial intermediaries, we might not have gotten Bitcoin. And that's the fucking truth. Honestly, you know, if it wasn't for that crash, you know, they probably would have never created Bitcoin. But I like to think they would have. So we can do without the crash. That's just my opinion. So today we have a tech tip of the day. So let's go ahead and get into that right now.
Cars, tech tip of the day.
Today's tech tip of the day is Telegram. If you go to telegram.org, you'll be able to access a free Android or free iPhone, iPad, or even Windows Phone, believe it or not. And they actually have it for Mac OS. They have a web version. They have PC. They have Mac. They have Linux. It's everywhere. It's a private messaging platform, and it's fast. It's open. It's cloud-based. It's distributed. It's free. It's powerful. And most of all, it's secure. And you can encrypt, actually, messages between the people that you talk with. It's pretty neat. And then you can build like a community, you can build a channel, you can build a group. It's pretty nice. And then it synchronizes your entire messaging across all your different, you know, handsets or, you know, your different desktops and all kinds of stuff, tablets, etc. What's pretty cool is that Thrill Podcast actually came out with their own group channel. I had nothing to do with it. Billy, one of our patrons, actually put it together, and I'm promoting it for you guys. So because I want all of our listeners to be able to join the Telegram, and if you go to bit.ly/TelegramThriller, you will be able to access Telegram group for Thriller Podcasts. And if you won't remember that, because you probably won't, it's in the show notes. So click on the link. I highly recommend there. We already have like 7 people, I think, right now. I think all our patrons are on there. I'm on there from time to time. So people will ask me questions and I'll respond usually almost immediately. I like to try to respond as soon as I can, unless like I'm at work or something. But all you have to do is just do the at symbol and you can talk coin. And then so this is a great place, guys. If you guys are still learning about cryptocurrency, and there's some other patrons that we have there as well. And you guys can learn from them. And then I will chime in every once in a while if you guys have any questions for me. And sometimes I like to display news on there too. It was pretty cool. We were using it, I believe, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was fun. And I used it today and it was fun. So we're having a blast on there. So I would highly recommend going to telegram.org and then downloading the free app. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our coin talk.
It is time for coin talk.
It's time for that special day, the special way I love this show. Sorry, guys. Had a bust in song because I love talking about coins. One of my favorite things to do, as you guys know, I really don't have that many loves in my life, and Coin Talk is one of them. And of course, every single one of you as well. So with that, I have an update. So guys, this is going to be scary because I'm going to hit you with some truth, and I know a lot of you guys are not going to want to hear it, but it's my due diligence, guys. It's my due diligence to tell you the truth. I swear to God, I'm not spreading FUD, and I swear, like, the way I understand it and the way I comprehend it is honestly my opinion. I don't have any ulterior motives. Like I've always told you guys, I'm doing the long game with you guys. I don't know if you realize that. Like, I'm giving you all the information that you need, everything that you need, because I want to be one of those people that, you know, and when it comes down to the very end and I'm on my dying deathbed, I want somebody to say, damn, Carl sure helped me with crypto. He was an awesome dude, that Thriller car guy, you know, and that's enough for me. And then honestly, like, I believe that if the more help and the more open and honest I am with you guys, the longer you'll stick around. There's been some people that I've listened to, like, via YouTube or even other crypto podcasts, and they just don't tell the truth, or maybe they are afraid they're going to lose listenership, and they just try to, you know, do whatever is necessary to abide by what everybody wants to hear. I'm not like that. I'm always going to spit you the truth, but at the same time, you know, sometimes people will interpret it as FUD, but I'm honestly not slinging FUD. I interpret it that way, so that's why I tell you guys. But I wanted to at least express that I am in this in the long term with you guys, so I'm always gonna either tell you the way it is from the beginning, or I'm gonna correct myself later on once I find out something is not going the way I thought it was gonna go. And I think any normal person should be able to go back on whatever he or she thinks at the time, because it's crypto, man. Things change on a day-to-day basis. They really do. And I think if you're one of those people, what's happening right now, BitConnect, I think you can end up in a lot of trouble, not only like, you know, with the courts, but, you know, potentially people coming at you saying that you lied to them. So what's going on right now is pretty serious. I haven't checked the updates today on YouTube or anything, but there's a lot of guys that were pushing BitConnect. I could name off names. I really could and put them on blast. But, you know, we have a lot of listeners, and I don't want to call them out just because I'm really sure they're already feeling the wrath from all these other people. But there's been a lot of YouTubers right now who were pushing BitConnect and were really bullish on it and trying to get people to use their referral codes and stuff like that. That's why I always told you guys from the beginning if you not to use the BitConnect referral codes. That's why I ended up taking them off of Thriller Podcast's show notes after a while, because I realized that it wasn't a good platform for you guys to be on. It just isn't. And then not only that, like I didn't want any referrals. I wanted you guys to actually create your own referral codes and use yourself as a referral. That was always my method that I told you guys. I don't know if you remember that. You might have to go back and listen to the BitConnect episodes. Anyway, what I'm getting at is these people are pulling their YouTube channels. These people are deleting videos. They're basically like cleaning up shop. BitConnect's time, I wouldn't say it's done, but it sure fucking feels like it. You know, there's one guy I will name. I won't name him. There's one guy who was supposedly in charge of the whole North American BitConnect like referral group or whatever. He was like the top of the pyramid guy. And even he's deleted his channel and pulled all his videos. And then we had that thing with Texas, you know, with a cease and desist letter. And over the weekend, BitConnect wasn't even online for most of Sunday. Like, I tried getting on to see what was going on and couldn't even get on. So basically, I think I lost a total of $300 with BitConnect, which sucks. Like, because I'm probably never going to see that. And what I'm trying to do is see if I haven't checked yet because I came home and started recording the podcast. But what I want to do and I recommend for you guys is pull all your money out of BitConnect, whatever you can. If you guys have money on there, pull it. Make sure that you, even if I know, because all you can transfer out is it's Bitcoin. So you're going to have to pay that huge fee. But honestly, you're better off paying that huge fee than losing all of it. The transaction fee I'm talking about. So yeah, guys, it's one of those things where I'm as soon as I get off this episode, I'm going to pull all my BitConnect and then just hope and pray it stays open, because I think it's about done. I gave it to, I think I said June last year when we were talking about it. And I even told you guys, like, with these lending platforms, you have to get in really early, like really early. Western Coin was the one that I got on and the one that I talked about here on the show. That one is super sketchy because now they're not even responding to anybody's tweets or anything. They're not responding at all. I'm still generating money on there, but I can't pull any coin out. So I probably lost $60 on there. And then on BitConnect, I lost $300. So a total of $360 that I lost from both these lending platforms. So guys, I cannot vouch for any more lending platforms ever again. I learned my lesson. I wish you guys the best who are making money on those places. I'm not trying to spread FUD. This is just the truth. This is what I've lost. I hope that I can get that some of that money back. And I hope Western Coin turns it around. I don't think they will. There's no sign that they're going to turn it around. Even though it's like, it's weird because I'm getting like $30 every other day through Western Coin. But all I can do is just turn it into Western Coin. And then when you try to like pull it out, it won't let you because they only give you like a dollar a coin. So you're not, that $20 ends up actually being worth 50 cents. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad all around, guys. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that just so that way you know. We're definitely not going to be talking about lending platforms anymore on this podcast. I can safely say that's factual. We did talk about them in the past just because they were a big thing back then. And a lot of people were making a shit ton of money. But the more we researched it, the more we realized it was because of referrals. That's the only reason they were making so much money. So yeah, kind of sucks. The pyramid scheme is done. I think I made a total of $80 or $100. And that was just because I pulled it out like early on. Man, back when Bitcoin was like $5 a transaction, you know, fee. But shit, I wish I would have pulled out more back then. I was so dumb and naive. But yeah, this is why people don't do lending platforms. And I highly don't recommend doing them anymore. I know there's Davercoin. I know I'm going to get some emails that are going to say, Carlos, but what about Davercoin? You talked about it and blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I did talk about it. And honestly, it just came out here last December. But I can't say anymore. I can't say like, hey, go invest in that, because it's not. I mean, we really see how BitConnect turned out. So that's why I'm saying like it's best not to. It's just best not to. Even though it looks like easy money and it looks like you're going to get all that money back, you likely won't. It will likely shut down by the time it comes around for you to get your first capital release. So that's the only thing I'm saying, guys. Kind of sucks, but I'm out some money too. So I'm right there with you. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
So, with that, let's jump into the coin market cap. It's been a long day, guys. I'm not gonna lie. I was peeking this morning at it, and it looked pretty good. But the more and more I looked at it throughout the day, I was like, oh shit, this is not gonna be a good day in crypto. So I will say, honestly, I'm keeping a level head about everything. It's January. I'm not worried about crypto until we get into February, March right now. Honestly, I kind of like not thinking about crypto during the day because I kind of get a hurt in my neck when I keep checking my phone throughout the day. I'm like, damn, it's gone up. It's gone up again. It's gone up again. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's good to be losing money, but at the same time, it's okay. It's okay. So let's jump in. Bitcoin is at $13,000. This is terrible. This is terrible. Sucks because it was just at 14,000 here this past week. We got Ethereum at $1,200. So even Ethereum's dropped quite a bit from 1,300. We got Ripple at $1.58. You're killing me, Ripple. You're fucking killing me. Oh my God. God dang, Ripple. God dang, Ripple. Yeah, so it's $1.58. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. But you know what? I'm holding, man. I'm fucking holding. I'm holding Ripple. Because the only reason I'm holding Ripple, and I'll tell you, this is the only reason, guys. This is literally the only reason I'm holding Ripple. I had a shit ton of Ripple when it was at, what was that, 15 cents? Talking about a shit ton. A shit ton to where if I would have kept that Ripple back when it was 15 cents, it would have been worth close to $50,000 here when it was at $3. One of my biggest regrets in my young crypto life, like, gosh, it just sucks. It feels like having a newborn puppy and then it getting lost and you just don't know like how big it could have been. It's the only way I can explain it. So that's why, like, right now $1.58, like, I mean, I bought in at 90 cents, so it's okay. Like, it's okay. But I'm just like, man, gosh, I don't want to dump it. Because I'm not gonna lose money. I'm probably gonna make a little small amount of money, but I bought some at $1.30, I think it was. But I'm not selling. I'm not making the same mistake twice. I've learned my lesson. So that's why I'm holding Ripple. You guys need to do what you think is right for you. I cannot give you advice on what to do. I can only tell you from my perspective. This is why I'm holding Ripple. Everybody will have their own unique perspective. I still believe it'll be on Coinbase. Something tells me it will. 100% believe it will. I just don't know when. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll definitely scream on the show when it does. You'll hear me just like yell like for like a solid 5 seconds. So if we ever have a Thriller podcast and Ripple is up to like $10 or $20 because it got on Coinbase, I'm just going to do a solid yell for like 10 seconds. Just telling you right now. So we got Bitcoin Cash at $2,200. We got Cardano at 72 cents. So Cardano went back down. I think it was at 80 cents earlier today. So not too bad. I'm not worried about it. I wish I had more money so I can buy some more Cardano. Litecoin is at 223. I'm still bullish on Cardano. It's kind of one of those things where I realize now it's going to be really long term. I started looking back at some of my older notes because everything that I record prior to the show, I usually type down in notes. So I started looking back into my old episodes of notes, and I think I had Cardano at like $5 by the end of this year, and it just sounds ridiculous now. But at the same time, it's kind of like we're in a really dry season right now when it comes to crypto because it's so early in the year. But I do think long term Cardano is still a solid project. It's probably the most solid project, you know, of the entire top. Wait here, let's see. Of the entire top 10, for sure. Well, not the entire top 10. It's let's just say it's one of the most solid projects out there in the top 10. Yes, they don't really have a working product yet, but they're sure working their ass off, and they're gonna even if the coin doesn't get off the ground as much. They're definitely going to change future generations of crypto by what they're doing. So, so we got NEM at $1.32. So NEM looks pretty good at that price, honestly. I've been wanting to buy some. We got Neo at $179. We got Stellar at 55 cents. I'm still bullish on Stellar. It's only down 2%. Earlier today, it was actually up a little bit. I think it was at 60 cents, 62 cents, somewhere around there. So I'm still holding my Stellar. Stellar and Cardano are just like long lost twins for me. I'm just holding them forever. Ripple's the only one I want to get rid of, but it's because I don't have any love for Ripple. Just want to make money with it. That's it. We got IOTA at $3.29. So IOTA's taking a dip too. And that's why I'm not too worried when it comes to some of these other coins, because everybody's taking dips. Like, you know, we got EOS at $12. It's down 3%. We got Dash at $891. It's down 2%. Dash is a hell of a project. We got Monero at $394, down 2%. Monero's a hell of a project. You know what I mean? Like, these coins are hell of a projects. Like, they're really awesome coins. Like, Dash, Monero. I wish I would have been able to get into Dash or Monero when it first, you know, when it was really low. Like, Cardano and, you know, and Stellar. But, you know, these are hell of projects. Like, these are ran by really smart individuals and a really smart team like Monero. So whenever I see, you know, other coins down, the coins that I own down, I look at those and I'm left wondering, okay, so it's a everybody kind of thing today, you know, so I don't take it too hard. We got Tron at 6 cents, but I'm going to discuss that in our main topic, so hang on for that. We got Bitcoin Gold at $254. We got Ethereum Classic holding steady at $37. That's probably where it's been around there, right, guys? I think. Yeah, it's been around $37. We got Qtum at $48. We got Icon at $9. Nice. We got Lisk at $25. We got Ryblox at $19. Nice. We got OMG at $21. We got Ardo. So Ardo is one of the few coins today that's up. It's up 1%. It's currently at $2. We got Stratus at $19. We got Zcash at $600. We got VeChain at $5.85. We got Verge at 10 cents. So even Verge is slightly up, barely. We got Sia Coin at 5 cents. Oh, poor Sia. We got Bitcoin at 0.8 cents. We got, look at BitConnect. So BitConnect is $243. It's literally, you know, what's funny is that, you know, I've been seeing a lot of tweets throughout the day that say that you can't even exchange your BitConnect for Bitcoin at this point. So that's sad. The dump is coming. Everybody's dumping. They're probably taking all their wallet stash and just pouring it out. Gosh, the pyramid is collapsing. We got the Status at 38 cents. We got BitShares at 48 cents. Man, Status went down. We got Steam at $5. We got Doge back at 0.9 cents. We got Golem at 88 cents. That looks pretty good. I would still buy Golem at that price. We got Electronium at 14 cents. We got Dragon Chain at $2.83. We got Dentacoin at 0.1 cents. Oh, wow. And then we have, where's the one that I'm looking at? Where are you at? We have Dentcoin. So Dentcoin is at 4 cents right now. We got Power Ledger at $1.14. So I've been doing some more research on Power Ledger, guys. I think what I'm going to do once I get all this BitConnect money out of there, I think I'm going to trade it in for some Power Ledger. I want to own some of that. I don't know. Just need to look into it a lot more and really need to study it. But I really like that one. We got Redcoin back down to a penny again. Sucks. I'm still holding Redcoin. Holding it out. We got Gamecoin at $5.85. Wow, so Gamecoin's not down too much. And I think that's everything here in our coin market cap. If you guys have any questions or any ideas on some cryptos that you want me to see, be sure to tweet at me or do the whole Snapchat thing or join the Telegram. Honestly, Telegram's probably the best way. I will say that today's topic is actually about Tron. Our main topic is about Tron, about Justin Sun and the rise of Tron and what's looking like right now, the crash of Tron. So we are talking Tron. I own a shit ton of Tron. I own a fuck ton of Tron, but that's not going to stop me from telling you guys the truth about it. So With that, let's go ahead and get into our main topic.
Time for today's main topic. On Thriller with Car Gonzalez, only on Anchor.fm.
Okay, so for the longest time, I was a big fan of Tron. I really was. I was on board with it. I was really on board with it, actually. And then it got under 10 cents. So remember, I don't know if you guys remember. That's why you guys got to pay attention to what I say. So I said last week, I think it was on one of the shows last week, I'm like, if Tron gets under 10 cents, we're in trouble. And I don't know if you remember me saying that, but I did say that. I said, if Tron gets under 10 cents, we're in trouble. And I also said, I'm going to have to start digging deeper. I don't think I said the digging deeper part, but maybe I meant like I'm going to have to investigate further. So I did, and I looked at it, and I have a shit ton of it, and I really didn't like what I saw because it hurts. It hurts to lose money. It really does. It feels like somebody punching you in the gut. But at the same time, it's kind of one of those things you got to slap yourself in the face and look at reality and say, you know what, Carlos? You fucking were wrong. Or maybe I'm right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure on Tron. It's all right. Before we go any further, let me explain the things that I have. The things that I have brought to you guys. Because this entire main topic is about Justin Sun and the rise of Tron. It truly is. And I'm going to keep it that way. So right now, I'm going to play you a clip from Justin Sun. Also, I should explain. He's the one that's basically the CEO person of Tron. He's very young. Very, very young. That's just another thing that doesn't help him. But at the same time, that's not a reason to discount him as well. But just saying, like, in the crypto world, that's not looked upon very well. Not just because he's young, but because he doesn't have any other experience inside of crypto. He does. He does. Because he has it on his website, but it's still, you know, he hasn't. It's not like the guy who's making EOS. He was actually the one who created Steemit. So he's actually been like Charles. He's already created Ethereum, and then now he's jumping onto Cardano. Like it's one of those. Like he's not one of those. He's actually really started out his own coin. And so, with all that said, I'm gonna play a video of him talking directly about Tron.
Tron here, we are doing like a decentralized internet. So we are not considered as like the competitor of Ethereum or like any Bitcoin or anything. We are far beyond that. We are like building the next generation of the infrastructure of the decentralized internet. So if you ask me who I'm considered to be our competitor, I think I considered like the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all the giant company, centralized internet giant company, to be our competitor. But we are not compete with them like in like one applications, or like we were doing like the same messaging system to compete with the Facebook. We use the different approach. We're doing like the decentralized internet. So basically we will have like a very cool platform. So decentralized platform, we will support all the decentralized applications. We will have like a decentralized Facebook, have a decentralized Twitter, have a decentralized blog, internet like this. So basically, it's in the early stage because, you know, right now, the internet was ruled by the centralized internet king, right? Yesterday, I said, like, the Zuckerberg. Wait a second. I will talk to my manager. Yeah, I don't know why. There is like 2-5K people here, but I can't like see any message. I don't know why. So yeah, it's weird. I guess this is the problem of the centralized internet, right? So yeah, but we will still like finish the show. Like I may restart like a new live streaming to communicate with our followers like in the next live streaming. So the competitor we are considered to be our competitor is more like the whole centralized internet. So basically we are not like compete with one company. So we are compete like the Fortune 500 company, all of them. Yeah. So basically, we are building the infrastructure for the decentralized internet. And everything we start like from the first step, right? So the first step we are focused on right now is we are trying to make like a decentralized protocol. It's very friendly to the content creator and the developers, so they can create contents in our application and get rewarded. Because you know, like the Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube and every centralized application you guys use right now, they don't give the reward to the content creator. Instead of they just selling your data to the commercial advertising and sell your data to anybody else just for the commercial advertising, right? So basically they are not rewards content creator. So everything you create in the decentralized internet is not belongs to you, it's more belongs to like the company, right? You every post, everything you have on the Facebook, Twitter is belong to the Facebook and Twitter, it's not belong to you. And they can ban you like whatever they want because they have the power, right? So but in our app it's like the totally completely like different story. You own your own data, and also you can wow, they said our live streaming room is like because it's like so many people crash into the space and they can't handle it. I think that's basically also the question of the centralized internet. We will like launch the decentralized live streaming in the future, and we can handle like whatever, like 100K, a million people as we want. So it won't be a problem for us. Yeah.
So that won't be a problem, he says. You know, and I don't want to be now like kind of shitting on Tron, but that scares me. It scares me a lot because he literally thinks he can scale that high and he says it's not a problem. It's funny because when you hear to like Vitalik or you hear like Charles Hoskinson of Cardano and Vitalik of Ethereum, they understand the scaling problem and they're scared of it. And they said that no one can scale right now with Bitcoin, like this is, or not Bitcoin, with any of these cryptocurrencies. Like this is why cryptocurrency, even if it wanted to hit the mainstream right now, this is why it couldn't, because of the scaling issues. So for him to say that, it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of like, if these other guys can't do it, what makes you think that you can? And are you just kind of talking out of your ass because you're young and you just don't understand how hard this shit really is? You know, that's what one person thinks. Another person can look at it like, no, he's young and he's ambitious and he's going for big goals and he wants to take on the entire Forbes 500. That's another way to look at it. Another, you know, maybe a different person would look at it. He's just like, he's just trying to pump it. And it's weird because this is not the only thing that he's ever done. There's multiple things. But before I get into multiple things, I do want to mention real quick, and you guys know that when it comes to cryptocurrency, Ian Bellina is probably the best when it comes to ICOs. I'm staring at his data sheet right now because he actually has an ICO grade, and his ICO grades are like just primo. They're just so good. They're so good because he researches everything. He gave Tron an ICO grade of 51%. He gave them a 51% rating. That's not good. That's not good. For example, if you look at a different one that he gave the one that we talked about with Copenhood, he actually gave that a higher rating at 76%. The reason that he gave Tron this low rating, and this is a part that I'm just guessing, but it's because they don't actually have an actual functioning like program. They don't have anything worth of substance. So that's one thing. That's probably one of the bigger points that kind of really kind of scared me, was once I looked into Ian Bellina's grade on them, what he gave them, it kind of basically 51% is a coin flip of whether it's going to be a worthwhile coin to hold or it's going to be shit. It's a coin flip. It literally is a coin flip because he has it at 51%. Another thing that hurt Tron a long time ago was the fact that we had John McAfee. So John McAfee, he actually tweeted out, Tron is a long-term hold. Those who are flipping it are losing out. He tweeted that out on December 26th. After that, Tron broke into the top 10. And it's been there. It was there ever since. You know, it got as high as 30 cents. You know, this is a time I probably should have sold. But that's another thing. This is another big thing. I'm giving you guys all the bad things about Tron right now, by the way, if you haven't noticed. And then I'll go into the good. But this is another thing. If we look at their market cap, so we look at their charts, we can see that they were actually started back here in September, September 13th. With that McAfee tweet, you know, they got up to 29 cents, 30 cents here in January. That's amazing. And then it shot back down. And it's funny because this kind of reminds me of Ripple. Ripple was kind of built the same way. McAfee did a tweet about Ripple, but back when Ripple first came out, it was very much like a, you know, piece of shit coin. And then it shot up to like 40 cents, was it 20 cents, 25 cents, somewhere around there, 30 cents. And everybody who had it at, you know, 0.2 cents sold it. And then it crashed back down to like 5 cents. And then it slowly worked its way back up. That's how Ripple started. You know, I'm not saying Tron is Ripple or those are the same type of coins. I'm just looking at charts. I'm just telling you, from looking at Ripple's chart to Tron's chart, that's Tron is taking the same kind of trajectory. And it's honestly because there's a lot of FUD attached to Tron. And FUD means fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And there should be, because they don't have a working platform yet. All they have is this guy. His name's Justin Sun. You heard him talk right now. It has nothing to do with him not speaking English very well for me. Like, to me, that's not a problem at all. The biggest problem is when you heard him there, he's like, hang on a second, I'm typing something. And then he's like, you know, answering. I actually cut it out, but he actually answers a call. So I cut that out so you guys don't have to listen to it. But it's kind of like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you have these people that are actually listening to you to talk about your coin, and then, or to talk about your projects, actually. And then when it comes to projects, he just kind of glosses over the fact that, oh yeah, million, whatever, we can do it all. It's all decentralized. And then to top it all off, he's like, we're going after Forbes, whatever. And it's fucking scary because I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I invested a shit ton of money into your token. And I'm not feeling very good right now, Justin Sun. I'm just saying, I'm not feeling very good. So right now it's currently at, so let's see here, if we refresh, currently at 7 cents. Now let's get into what Charlie Lee. And Charlie Lee is a smart guy. Charlie Lee is also probably Tron's biggest, I wouldn't say criticizer, but he is definitely somebody that got into it with Justin Sun. And what you don't want to do is piss off Charlie Lee, because Charlie will tell you the way it is. I wouldn't say he doesn't get fucked. He doesn't care if he upsets you. And that's a good thing, especially in crypto. So he says, So he said, Charlie Lee, people keep asking me about it. Fine. I will give my opinion. I love the original Tron movie, but was meh about the latest one. I feel like it's extremely hyped without a lot of substance. Wink emoji. So people thought that he was talking about Tron, the actual crypto. And then sure enough, so after Charlie said that, he also said, so I got a lot of hate for my Tron retweet. Shows that there are a lot of TRX bag holders. If you really believe in the project, some FUD is only a speed bump. When you are a top 10 coin, you need to be able to survive some FUD. These tweets help me block haters from my feed. Grin emoji. Then Justin Sun replies back, I agree with you, Satoshi Light. A great project needs to be able to survive some FUDs. We accept constructive criticism and advice. You are a crypto pioneer, and I'm sure Tron learns from Litecoin. We can collaborate and make crypto world better. And then he goes on to say, I love Satoshi Lite and Litecoin. It is a pity that Satoshi Lite has sold all of his LTC, but we locked up all of our TRX we have until 2020 because we have confidence in Tron and devoted our lives. And yeah, so they go into a Twitter battle. And yeah, it just becomes a crazy mess. And then finally, they agree to delete the tweets and whatever. So it's kind of hard finding these, by the way. But what I'm trying to get at is Charlie's already calling it out. And then Justin Sun is replying back. But, with the way he replies to everything with, compassion and, looks at it in a different way. And that's one thing I will give about Justin Sun. Now we're going to start getting into the good things about Tron. But that is one thing I would give about Justin Sun. He always carries himself a good way. Like, he knows how to market the shit out of this coin. He knows that it's going to require doing these live streams with people. The only advice I would give him would be like, hey, dude, like when you're doing a live stream to all the people that are, wanting your coin, like make it more professional. Like, don't just do it from your iPhone or whatever, and don't be typing away and doing other things and answering the phone. Like, come on, like, give them your full attention. It just shows the type of, the outlook you have on them. It's just not very respectful. So that's one thing I will say about him. Other than that, he really does market this coin really well. If you go to their website, I mean, it's very nice the way it's put together. I can't seem to find a white paper for Tron. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, but I can't find anything on Tron. I will. There is a Medium post by a person called 20 Some Crypto, and they did a whole Killing FUD Rumors, a presentation of counterpoints for Tron. And I'm going to read you some of them. So a lot of people say, and even myself, we all say Tron has no product. And he says they do have a product. The source code has been released and is currently on GitHub, being improved and updated frequently. It can be found here. And then he explains all that stuff. That's fine. And that's true. This is all true. Another thing that people are saying, that it's a plagiarized white paper. Recently, reports were written claiming that certain sections of English translated version of Tron white paper were plagiarized from the IPFS and Filecoin white paper without references made to them. However, copying of code in the crypto world is common. Almost every coin has a section of their white paper copied from another coin with reference provided to avoid plagiarism. And then Justin Sun actually tweeted out, he said, we can provide you with the latest Chinese version of the white paper and hope we can learn from your advice. Again, from the beginning, we don't expect numerous languages versions to keep update. After our San Francisco office opens, we will have better English version of everything soon. So he does apologize for that, Justin Sun. Then he goes on. There's another piece too. So if we look here, he says, no one in China knows PWOW does not have the user basic claims. Another FUD rumor that gained traction recently was that PWOW, the 10 million user company created by Justin Sun, does not really have the user base that it claims. Evidence for this claim was to Google it for yourself and see that there is no proof of such a large user base. The inherent problem that many fail to realize is that China does not use Western app distribution platforms like Google Play Store. They have various different platforms of their own, just to list a few. And that's fine. So that's fine. Whatever, we'll give them a benefit out on that. Justin Sun cashes out on TRX shares because we just heard him tell Charlie Lee that he's not selling any of his till 2020. So a rumor spread about recently discovered on Ethereum wallets selling over 6 billion TRX coins to different exchanges in the past 20 days. Claims were made trying to connect Justin Sun with this wallet account, creating a rumor that he was trying to sell out before Tron was revealed as a scam. Justin responded to these claims via Twitter. The Reddit account is not my account and also a foundation account. It belongs to our private investor and market maker. We don't have an account in Gemini.com. The market maker uses an account to trade and increase the liquidation of TRX, not sell TRX. I'm not going to give him that one. I don't, because it's very easy to transfer money, you know, when it's involved in crypto from Ethereum wallets to Ethereum wallets. So I'm not giving him that one. We'll go ahead and say that he sold all of that coin. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. He's trying to make money too, I guess. So if we could look here, and so he ends it and he says, a few FUDders made low effort desperation attempts at creating FUD out of anything they could. One of those was trying to downplay Tron's announced soon to be open San Francisco office by claiming that office is just a rented Hero City shared workspace, an attempt at FUD that makes zero sense since it is a common practice nowadays for new company startups to use a shared workspace. In fact, Tim Draper, a billionaire crypto enthusiast, uses Hero City as his co-working space incubator. So, yeah, I think the problem with this is that any crypto is going to have FUD. That's just the way it is. Litecoin has FUD. Like Charlie said, it's something that, you know, makes the coin stronger. It's just a matter of them executing on the deadlines that he's created for himself. I don't know, guys. I'm kind of like Ian on this one. I think it's a coin flip. I really do. And it kind of sucks because I have a fuck ton of Tron. So definitely losing money right now. Because I think I bought at like 0.8 cents. And then I rebought it in like at 13 cents. So I'm already losing some money, which kind of sucks because I really wanted this coin to succeed because I wanted to flip it and, you know, make some money. I should have cashed out when I had the opportunity, but I didn't. But I guess overall what I'm thinking, and this is not financial advice, this is just what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to hold for now, and I think once it gets to $1, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to wait to get back in later on, but if it can get to 30, if it can get to 30 cents again, like it did in the past, it could probably shoot past it. I'm thinking maybe 75 cents. Maybe I'll sell at 75 cents somewhere around there. I just think that I need to take my winnings while I still can before, you know, it ends up like a really shitty coin. And it kind of sucks because he actually has a team in place. I mean, he's doing everything right that you're supposed to do. Like, he's talking to the community. He's giving them constant updates. He's doing GitHub comments or commits on there. There's people actually working on the code on a daily basis. There has been some FUD on that as well, too. I'm not a programmer, so I couldn't tell you what exactly was done on the code. But it's one of those things where it's going to be a coin flip with Tron. We're not going to know for sure in the short term where it's going to go. It kind of sucks because I really had high hopes for this coin. I believed the hype. I believed Justin. And I thought that he was going to, you know, actually do something pretty big. And who knows, maybe he will. Maybe he will hit all his deadlines that he's created for himself, like building out the San Francisco office. That might be cool. That might help, you know, maybe getting in America. I think the kid does have vigor for sure. This guy, this Justin Sun, he does have what it takes to will this shit. I can definitely see that just by his tweets, the way he carries himself. Watch some of his videos, guys, if you get a chance on YouTube. You can kind of see how serious he is about this coin. You can tell he hustles and he grinds every day. So to me, that's a sign of a good quality to have, especially if you're in charge of running this. I just don't know if he knows as much as he thinks he does when it comes to, you know, cryptocurrency. And I think he knows how to create the lore of a coin and to create a great marketing behind the coin. I just don't know if he knows how to create a good team around the coin. So we will see on that. Let me know what you guys think. Send me some messages. Send in some emails. I'm sure you guys will. We'll read them on the show tomorrow. But I think for right now, it's a coin flip for me. It's 50-50. It's definitely one that I can't recommend anymore, especially after really diving in even further. Because I already knew most of this stuff, But some of the stuff like the, I didn't know he was doing live streams on YouTube. That was kind of surprising because I read the Reddit all the time and no one ever mentions live streams. And then when I actually clicked on him and actually heard him talking about the coin, it kind of scared the fuck out of me. I was like, holy shit. Not because of his lack of English, but because he was promising, he was over promising on some things. And it's just, that's not good. Because that tells me that he's always in sell mode. He's never in, let's think about this, you know? So, yeah, I think that's it for Thriller Podcast. I think we learned some things. We learned that Justin Sun is a hell of a marketer. We learned that Charlie Lee is not going to take any bullshit from anybody. And I think we also learned that Tron is on the rise, but it very is possible that it could be on the crash as well. But we'll see, because this is crypto land and anything goes. We'll see you guys tomorrow. If you guys are interested in more of Thriller Podcast, find us on Twitter at Thriller Podcast. You can also find us on our very active Instagram page at Thriller Podcast. I do post some snaps every once in a while on Snapchat at car-gons. If you want to find us on our website, go to thrillerpodcast.club. And finally, if you want to send us an email, go ahead at car@thrillerpodcast.club, and I'll make sure to read it on the show. Shout out to everybody on the Telegram this past weekend. That was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun hanging out with you guys and, you know, talking about crypto. It's awesome. I also want to give a special shout out to Josine. She's our executive producer of Thriller Podcast, and she is our only executive producer, and she helped pick today's show. So thank you, Josine. So if you guys would like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/thrillerpodcast. There we are having an awesome community that's being built right now as we speak. We are entirely funded by our Patreon. It's exciting stuff. We're constantly talking about crypto, and we're constantly, you know, asking each other questions and helping each other out to learn more. It's only $1 a month if you want to be a part of everything on Patreon. It's $5 a month if you want to become an executive producer, just like Josine, and help pick some of the shows that we talk about here on a weekly basis. Either way, if you guys are listening, thank you so much. And if you want to support the show, there's even more links in the show notes. Hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll see you next time on Thriller Podcast. We are out.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Carr Gonzalez. Thriller Podcast wants you to have a nice day. Remember to buy Bitcoin and save the world, one Satoshi at a time.